This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the August-September issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have reviews in science fiction, fantasy, and horror, including an interview with author Dean Cole and a review of his latest, Solitude, Dimensions in Space, Book 1, read by R.C. Bray and Julia Whalen. I'll follow that with some reviews in contemporary culture, including a review of The Wood for the Trees, One Man's Long View of Nature. It's by Richard Forty, and it's an Earphones winner read by Michael Page. Let's get right to it. Our first review today is an Earphones winner, and as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. In the print version of the magazine, many of our reviews carry a QR code, which when you scan it with your smartphone, will play a sound sample of the book. I'll let you know when a review has a QR code, and if you don't have a smartphone, you can still hear sound samples of most of our titles at www.audiophilemagazine.com. Our first review today is The Wise Man's Fear, King Killer Chronicles Day 2. It's written by Patrick Rothfuss, and it's an Earphones winner read by Nick Podell. Narrator Nick Podell arrives at the end of this long audiobook, the second in the King Killer series, as engaged and fresh as he was at the start. The story of Kvothe continues as he begins another year at university, where he struggles to pay tuition and literally sings for his supper. Podell adeptly presents the broad cast of characters, from moneylenders and courtesans to kings. One of the most fascinating portrayals by Podell begins with a young mercenary from the Adem who says little, and when he does speak, he has a flat voice, mostly devoid of expression. Podell builds on this when Kvothe returns with him to study among the Adem, where the mercenary develops a recognizable pattern of speech reflecting many of the culture's characteristics. Joyce E. McCarthy wrote that review of The Wise Man's Fear, King Killer Chronicles, Book Day 2, written by Patrick Rothfuss and Earphones winner read by Nick Podell. It's available from Brilliance Audio for 43 hours, unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Next in sci-fi, fantasy, and horror, we have Heart of Gold, Clans of Shadow, Book 1, by J.A. Cipriano and J.B. Gardner, read by Joe Hempel. Narrator Joe Hempel buoyantly portrays Frank Butcher, package delivery guy, as he makes his favorite stop of the day, the last one, which is where hot cancer donor Gabriela Gabby Perez works. Hempel's butcher goes from cocky to shocked when he's almost killed by a bomb from factions fighting about magic. Dr. Perez saves him by using a golden artifact. Hempel convincingly portrays a gutsy British grandma wizard and Butcher's mom, who's as feisty and outspoken as he is. Listeners will feel that Butcher is sharing the action like a friend. The most fun is when Butcher goes undercover wearing his delivery uniform to try to save the day. Susan G. Baird wrote that review of Heart of Gold, Clans of Shadow, Book 1, by J.A. Cipriano and J.B. Garner. It's read by Joe Hempel, and it's available from Jason A. Cipriano for 5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Collapsing Empire, The Interdependency, Book 1, by John Scalzi, read by Will Wheaton. The interdependencies are in trouble. Their method of connecting across light years, known as the flow, is breaking down, but no one knows why. Geek icon Will Wheaton of Star Trek lends his voice to this comical yet compelling tale of a space civilization in decline. His character portrayals are largely distinct, and he captures Scalzi's sarcastic tone perfectly. He also can spin the tension of any given scene from calm to chaotic and has an engaging voice when delivering narrative. With civilization on the brink of destruction, three individuals, the new empress, a physicist of the flow from the farthest planet, and a guild leader, must find a way to save everyone. But another guild leader sees a prime opportunity for a regime change. Lance Eaton wrote that review of The Collapsing Empire, The Interdependency, Book 1, by John Scalzi, read by Will Wheaton. It's available from Audible, Inc. for 9.25 hours unabridged. Next, we have Thanos, Death Sentence, by Stuart Moore. It's read by Richard Rohan and a full cast. Graphic Audio delivers another exciting and lively full-cast production with a musical score and sound effects. In his ceaseless quest to court Mistress Death, the mad titan Thanos almost managed to destroy the universe, but failed. Returned to being a powerless nobody, Thanos strives again to conquer the universe, but wonders if he's changed. Richard Rohan performs the lion's share of the production, delivering energetic prose with a deep, emphatic voice. Christopher Walker voices Thanos, having to balance the older and newer versions of the Titan to reflect the changes in him. Fans will enjoy this rendering of one of Marvel's deadliest villains, while new listeners will get a glimpse of things to come in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Lance Eaton wrote that review of Thanos, Death Sentence, by Stuart Moore, read by Richard Rohan and a full cast, available from Graphic Audio for 8 hours as an audio program. Next, we have Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them by J.K. Rowling and Newt Scamander. It's read by Eddie Redmayne. Anyone who has read Harry Potter knows what a hippogriff is. But what about a hippocampus? In the new audiobook by J.K. Rowling, narrator Eddie Redmayne explains that a hippocampus is a half-horse, half-fish creature not to be messed with. Redmayne gives us descriptions of dozens of creatures, along with warnings when necessary. His delivery is so perfect that I'll be looking for hinky-punk sniffers and doxies when working in the garden. Some of the creatures are pulled directly from mythology, but many come from Rowling's fertile imagination. The writing is crisp, and Redmayne, with his British accent, breezes along, taking listeners on a wonderful magical ride. The audiobook is absolutely nothing like the recent movie of the same name. Mike San Giacomo wrote that review of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It's by J.K. Rowling and Newt Scamander, read by Eddie Redmayne, and it's available from Pottermore from J.K. Rowling for 1 hour, 0.75, unabridged. Our next review in science fiction, fantasy, and horror is The Dead Zone by Stephen King. It's read by James Franco. Originally published in 1979, this title is finally available for the first time as an audiobook with actor James Franco narrating. After a car accident and nearly 5-year coma, Johnny Smith awakens with a frightening ability to see people's pasts and futures simply by touching them. When Johnny senses that rising political star Greg Stilson may become president and cause a nuclear war, he considers drastic action to stop him. Franco's impressive acting talent is on full display. As the troubled Johnny, he narrates with restraint and melancholy. As Stilson, an amoral businessman who cons his way toward the presidency, Franco oozes menace. Listeners will yearn for Stilson's comeuppance, yet sympathize with Johnny's reluctance to act on his uncertain vision of a terrible future. Andy T. Northrup wrote that review of The Dead Zone by Stephen King, read by James Franco. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 16.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Gwendy's Button Box. It's written by Stephen King with Richard Chismar, and it's an Earphones winner read by Maggie Siff. Listeners are introduced to 12-year-old Gwendy Peterson atop a cliffside stairway to Castle View, a park in the town of Castle Rock, Maine. There, Gwendy meets Richard Farris, a strange man who knows just a little too much about her, and receives a gift that for a decade brings her good fortune and unthinkable terror. Maggie Siff narrates with touches of nostalgia, wonder, and insecurity that beautifully capture Gwendy's adolescence. Though the horror elements are effective, it's Gwendy's coming of age that truly resonates. Siff characterizes Farris as blandly likable, but with intangible menace. Listeners like Gwendy will be both wary and intrigued. In the bonus short story, The Music Room, Siff's highfalutin accents perfectly complement the story's mix of black humor and wickedness. Andy T. Northrup wrote that review of Gwendy's Button Box by Stephen King with Richard Chismar, an Earphones winner read by Maggie Siff. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 2.75 hours unabridged. This is just a reminder that you are listening to the August-September issue of Audiophile magazine. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Now we're going to take a break from our reviews and turn to an interview with Dean M. Cole. If Dean Cole's writing about flying helicopters seems true, it's with good reason. The award-winning science fiction author of the Sector 54 series and the first book of the New Solitude series was an U.S. Army copter combat pilot during Desert Storm. He is now a commercial helicopter pilot. The rest of the authoritative-sounding scientific writing in his books springs from Cole's own imagination, stoked by his reading of everything he could find on the subject of space exploration and rocket science. I'm a wannabe theoretical physicist. I've taken courses in the subject and read everything I could get my hands on. I'm a believer in the universe as envisioned by Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein, and I consume articles about new ideas in science. Whatever he's doing works. The scientific explanation of the frightening events in Solitude, Dimension Space Book 1, and in his earlier Sector 54 series sound plausible enough to be scary. Cole's descriptions of the inner workings at NASA Glenn Research Center in Cleveland and the adjacent city airport in Solitude are so perfect that some believe he's an area native. Actually, I'm not from the area, but I did lots of online research, including surfing satellite images of the base and the airport. I also had some help from a beta reader who was an astronaut candidate who worked at Glenn. His own experiences as a fighter pilot in Desert Storm give his work authenticity as well. I've flown 8,000 hours in copters. After Desert Storm, I took 10 years off from flying and only returned to it in 2002, flying for oil companies in the Gulf of Mexico. Typically, I fly people out to oil rigs in very high-tech $26 million copters. When he's not flying commercially, the author and his wife Donna travel the world, exploring new lands and looking for inspiration. I get 6 months off a year, and she gets two, so we're on the road quite a bit. Cole first got bitten by the writing bug while working behind the scenes on the 1990 movie Firebirds, which stars Nicolas Cage and Tommy Lee Jones. Cage and Jones were so excited about flying copters that it stuck with me. When I was in Desert Storm, I wrote long letters to my family back home, and everyone complimented me on my writing. Later, I thought, writing a book can't be that hard, but boy, did I find out differently. His first novella, Sector 64, Coup de Main, was published independently in 2011, and it taught Cole some powerful lessons. It was a horrible book, he laughs. It had a great story about an alien invasion, but I didn't know what I was doing and made quintessential errors, like the lack of editing. It got some good reviews, but the negative reviews made me realize what I had to do. He made a lot of changes, including hiring an editor, and expanded the short work into a full-fledged novel that became Sexter 64 Ambush. I've tried to get back as many of the early editions as possible. I'm a big fan of audiobooks, so I was glad the new version was released that way. The first series was performed by Mike Ortego. His latest is performed by R.C. Bray and Julia Whalen. The next book will be performed by Bray alone. It made sense to use a male and female narrator for Solitude because it tells the stories of two people in separate situations. The next book, which I hope to have out in 2018, has the characters together, and it would be complicated to have two narrators. Besides, I've told Bray he does a great female voice. His best advice to new writers? Easy. Get a good editor. I look at my early work and cringe. Later, my editor made the process seamless. That interview was conducted by Michael San Giacomo. We were talking with Dean M. Cole. And here's a review of Mr. Cole's book, Solitude, Dimensions, Space, Book 1, by Dean M. Cole, read by R.C. Bray and Julia Whalen. Talk about star-crossed lovers. Vaughn is the last man alive on Earth, and Angela, the last woman, but she's trapped on the International Space Station. Cole's latest audiobook is an uber-intelligent adventure story brought to vivid life by narrators R.C. Bray and Julia Whalen. The audiobook is divided into chapters for focusing either one character or the other, each performed expertly by Bray or Whalen. The cause of the disappearance of every animal on Earth is hinted at but not revealed in this first book of a series. The only reason Vaughn and Angela have survived is that he was in a null gravity chamber and she was in space. Can a brilliant but lazy scientist devise a way to get the last woman alive safely home? And what then? That review by Michael San Giacomo is of Solitude, Dimensions, Space, Book 1 by Dean M. Cole. It's read by R.C. Bray and Julia Whalen. It's available from Dean M. Cole for 8.5 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Okay, we are going to leave science fiction and fantasy for a bit, and we're going to turn our attention to contemporary culture. Our first review today in contemporary culture is The Wood for the Trees, One Man's Long View of Nature by Richard Forty, and Earphones Winner read by Michael Page. Everything about Forty's unusual memoir is distinctly British. Narrator Michael Page's precisely stately and almost courtly British accent perfectly suits Forty's observations. After retirement from the British Naval History Museum, author Forty purchases a small beech wood colorfully named Grimm's Dyke Wood and closely observes the natural environment for a year. As Forty learns about the beech and cherry trees, mushrooms, beetles, orchids, centipedes, and the art of making walking sticks, Page captures the author's slightly professorial but enthusiastic tone. Liberally sprinkled with sly humor, Forty calls in former colleagues to identify the bats and flies and another expert he calls just for the moss man. It's all absolutely charming with its dingley dell, fields of bluebells, perambulations through the woods, and cottages that are all tickety-boo. Listen and be inspired to go outside and explore. Anna Broom wrote that review of The Wood for the Trees, One Man's Long View of Nature by Richard Forthy, read by Michael Page. It's an Earphones winner, and it's available from Highbridge Audio for 10.75 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Continuing in contemporary culture, we have The Death and Life of Great American Cities. It's by Jane Jacobs, with an introduction from Jason Epstein, and it's read by Donna Rollins. Jacobs's once revolutionary work about urban planning has become a classic. It has only gained in authority since its original publication almost 60 years ago. Jacobs predicts much of the urban dysfunction of the 1970s and the urban renaissance of recent decades. Donna Rollins's rich alto carries Jacobs's detailed analysis magnificently. Rollins understands she's reading an important book. Occasionally, her voice expresses delight at one of Jacobs's succinct, powerful observations. Rollins's presentation is always clear and consistent. This is a wonderful book, and it lends itself beautifully to audio. Even those who have read it many times before will find it still worth a listen. Those new to the work will find listening a revelation. That review by Federico Cheever is of The Death and Life of Great American Cities. It's written by Jane Jacobs with an introduction by Jason Epstein. It's read by Donna Rollins, and it's available from Random House Audio for 18 hours unabridged. Next we have Rules for Revolutionaries by Becky Bond and Zach Exley. It's read by Tia Ryder Sorensen. Narrator Tia Ryder Sorensen enlivens the words of authors Bond and Exley, senior advisors to Bernie Sanders' tech-driven presidential campaign. The spirited rendering gives a feel for the 75 million calls, 8 million text messages, and 100,000 public meetings that took place during the campaign. In alternating chapters, Sorensen portrays Bond and Exley as they earnestly share suggestions, highlights, and mistakes for the purpose of influencing future campaigns of all sorts. Thinking big and encouraging volunteers are emphasized in Sorensen's uplifting style. Personal anecdotes add levity and human interest. Listeners will be amused by the chapter titled The Tyranny of the Annoying, which advises leaders to immediately react to people, no matter how well-intentioned, whose negative attitudes can help sink a campaign. It's inspiring and enlightening to hear insider views of one of our nation's most unprecedented presidential campaigns. That review was by Susan G. Baird. It is of Rules for Revolutionaries by Becky Bond and Zach Exley. It's read by Tia Ryder Sorensen, and it's available from Chelsea Green Publishing for 6.25 hours unabridged. Next in contemporary culture, we have Janesville, An American Story by Amy Goldstein. It's read by Joy Osmansky. Just before Christmas in 2008, General Motors shut down its Janesville, Wisconsin assembly plant. Amy Goldstein tells the story of those who were left to cope with joblessness and those in its wake. Joy Osmansky reads the stories with passion. Listeners hear the emptiness of the once bustling plant and the anxiety of the workers who once made $28 an hour. A woman dealing with a depressing job as a corrections officer, teens embarking on their futures, and GM gypsies who move to another plant are among those who share their experiences. Civic efforts to help people rebuild their lives and bring in new jobs, as well as the efforts of House Speaker Paul Ryan to save his hometown's assembly plant, are also part of the story. James A. Stewart wrote that review of Janesville, An American Story. It's written by Amy Goldstein, read by Joy Osmansky. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 10 hours of unabridged listening. Finally today, we have What is Populism? By Jan Werner Müller, read by Simon Vance. This short but useful audiobook explains the features of the authoritarian forms of populism that are on the rise throughout the world today. Yes, Mueller looks at the United States and Donald Trump, but he also considers populism in places like France, Italy, and Venezuela. The audiobook is fully accessible to the average listener. Simon Vance's narration is as engaging as the book itself. A skilled narrator, Vance knows that a monotone can suck the life out of even the greatest of nonfiction work. He changes it up through tone, pacing, emphasis, and his charming English accent to keep the listener interested. Gretchen S. Dodge wrote that review of What is Populism? By Jan Werner Müller, read by Simon Vance. It's available from Post Hypnotic Press for 3.25 hours unabridged. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we'll continue our reviews in contemporary culture, this time including a review of Paula Poundstone's latest, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness. It's an earphones winner, which she reads herself. We'll follow that with reviews in classics and drama and an interview with narrator Allison Larkin and a review of her reading with James Warwick of Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.